coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast, ripping up everything off that.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome into the Fantasy Coaches Podcast. It has been way too long, I could say, to be back in the hosting chair. You know, we took a little bit of a hiatus, vacation week last week, so we didn't get to podcast. So we're back now. We have two great guests on for tonight's show. Coach Chibs is going to be back for this episode. We're doing a little bit of ADP battle, and I'll tell more kind of exactly what that means once we get in today's episode. But let me introduce, of course, my co-host, Coach Chibs. What's going on, man?
What up? What up? Back in business, baby.
Yeah, long time since you've been on the podcast, even longer than me. I'm freaking out already.
Hey, man, like, got a nice little summer shade going on, enjoying that nice weather, getting ready for redraft, of course, and just gearing up for this season.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's so many things going on. I'm doing two auction drafts right now, and they're insane. You know, the Scott Fish Bowl is going pretty fun right now. So let's introduce our guest for this evening here. And we got two great ones, guys, from the good old boys fantasy football show here, Derek and Kevin. Guys, what's going on today?
How you doing? Super excited to be here.
Yeah, no, you guys are great. Like I said, you guys had me on your pod, and now it's time to return the favor and bring you guys on to talk today. So what's going on, Kevin?
Not much. About the same as you, Steve. Just, you know, lots of different drafts and Scott Fishbowl. I didn't make the main event. I think I was a little late, so I'm in the satellite best ball, and it has been slow as snot, quite frankly. We are still at pick 3.06 in the best ball tournament, and it kicked off the exact same time all you main eventers did, so it is going very slow.
Wow. You know what I have to say? I don't know if they take like the inactive people as serious in the satellites, so that might be the reason why you guys are slow, because I've seen a lot of people with satellites like that.
There's a first round penalty. So if you didn't make your pick and you timed out in the first round, they'd replace you. But as long as you made your pick in the first round, they just let it ride. So I might be drafting all the way up until season starts. But we'll find out.
That's great. That's great. Derek, what about your team? How's that going?
You know, I'm super excited about this roster that I'm constructing with that Scotty Fishbowl. It's first time I made it in, so very honored and humbled to be a part of this process, and super excited to be there as well. Loving the depth that I've managed to assemble as far as running backs go, liking the wide receiver core that we're putting together, and I've got a couple of really good quarterbacks in there as well, and we're just about to make the turn into the 11th, and in the 11th, I'm going to have to finally break down and probably take a tight end, but we'll see what falls back to me. If there's still some of those good running backs and wide receivers, that may just have to be the trend to keep that rolling and, you know, hold true to the brand of just take super late tight end and stream it if I've got to.
Love it. Just, we got to get you in at least the satellite next year, man. Trying to play you in the fishbowl, maybe in the championship or whatever how they do it. I don't know. My first time too, so it's definitely a great experience, that's for sure. So Scott Fish, if you happen to listen to this ever, we appreciate you a lot, my friend. We sure do. So
absolutely can't say thank you enough.
Exactly. So let's get into the news real quick. Again, it's really not much to say here. I actually want to mention this one thing because it's kind of interesting. So first off, N'Keal Harry requested a trade, former first round pick. Surely that was something that was going to come down the pipeline. Benny Snell, you know, possible cut candidate this coming season here, offseason. Kind of see if he can kind of outlast that. But Mecole Hardman enters the camp as the Chiefs' number two wide receiver. Now, we've talked about Mecole Hardman on the show in the past and, you know, what, you know, expectation are going forward. But Kevin and Derek, I'm going to ask you guys this. Does this mean anything to you? Do you believe that Mecole Hardman is ready to take that next step? Or is this just he's the veteran on the team or whatever?
Sammy Watkins 2.0, here we come.
Love it. Kevin, what about you?
Yeah, I think I think Mikal only means something to me because he went to Georgia, so I've been following him for a while now. But realistically, the number two wide receiver on the Chiefs over the last 5 years, they haven't scored better than 50th overall by season's end. So, I mean, there's just not quite enough there for me to get excited about.
Again, like we said, we've met me and Jibs. I know Jibs is on one side, I'm on the other, kind of. You know, it's a bit of a mix, but we'll see what happens. I mean, if he can keep that starting job, we will see how that works out. So there's like not much to talk about here. I just wanted to get your guys' opinion real quick before we get started with today's episode. So like I mentioned before, guys, we're doing ADP battles. And, you know, we came up with this last year. It was really fun to kind of instead of like doing like a mock draft per se, just see where some players are falling in drafts. And right now it's all Fantasy Pros, you know, their ADP for half point PPR leagues. And basically we just picked out three players that were in that round. And what would you do in that moment? You know, instead of having to go through the entire draft, what kind of players do we like in those rounds? So we're going to start with round one here. And again, it was Jonathan Taylor, Travis Kelce, Devontae Adams. This is the only round that I actually kind of split things up and kind of went different directions, because at this point in the draft, again, if you're picking one of these three players, you're picking probably around that 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 spot, and you have an opportunity for all these guys. So, Derek, I'm going to let you go first on this one. Who would you have chosen from this group here?
For me, it's easy. I'm taking, as intriguing as it would be to take a Travis Kelce and get that positional advantage there, I am always a believer in taking a running back in the first round. So you only have one listed here. It's Jonathan Taylor for me on this one.
All right, I love it. I don't hate that whatsoever. I mean, you go with your stud. I'm not a big Taylor fan this year, but I understand that he has that RB1 upside to be a top three back. Kevin's very upset about that pick, it seems like, but we'll get him back in a second. But Jibs, I'll let you go, my friend. Who do you have in this spot here?
I'm going Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce, why?
Just like you said before, you get that positional advantage. You see, like, average tight ends last year scored about 11 PPR fantasy points, while Travis Kelce scored 20. So that's already a touchdown difference. So that's one less thing you have to worry about on a Sunday if it goes your way or not. And you know he's the main getter in the offense, unlike Mecole Hardman. So he shares with Tyreek Hill.
All right, I love it, because I will obviously be picking him as well. But I'll wait until we get Kevin here. Kevin, what about you?
I'm trying. Sorry, my connection's been terrible here. For me, I'm going Jonathan Taylor. I like having the running back. I like being able to start out early and get going. As far as the running back position goes, Travis Kelce entices me. I've always liked the idea of taking him in the first round, but I really just can't get over how poor I feel like my roster construction is after I do that.
No, and I definitely understand that, guys. Like, you know, it's a smart, safe move to go running back, of course, because how many are there after round one? Especially workhorse running backs. There's not many. Unfortunately, I'm going to go with Jibs on this one. I don't trust Jonathan Taylor enough to think he's going to be a true workhorse back on a week-to-week basis, especially with Marlon Mack there and Naeem Hines, and the way that Carson Wentz is now on this offense here, where I think they kind of try to at least air it out a little bit more than what you saw last year. And especially comes to the targets. You know, Jonathan Taylor, I think he had 46 or something like receptions last year. And I just don't see him seeing that benchmark again with the wide receivers hopefully taking another steps. Naeem Hines still in that backfield here, there. I don't think they're just going to go away from Naeem Hines, because he is a versatile kind of third down back. That's why for me personally, just Travis Kelce. You can't go wrong. Honestly, I feel like this year you can't go wrong taking the best overall tight end in the draft, and someone who's going to be at least putting up at least 15 fantasy points almost every single week, especially half point PPR. So yeah, Kind of why I went that direction. So Devontae Adams, sorry, buddy, you didn't get picked, but maybe next time around if we know Aaron Rodgers is actually playing, but we'll see at that one. So heading into round two now, we go strictly wide receiver base here, guys. This is DeAndre Hopkins, DK Metcalf, and Calvin Ridley here. So, Kevin, you get to go first on this one, my friend. Who do you have as this wide receiver here?
Okay, so for me, round two, Nuke Hopkins, man. If I'm getting Nuke in the second out of these guys, I'm taking him. I think he's probably going to – he has the best chance of finishing as the number one overall receiver. Kyler loves to feed him. The Cliff Kingsbury offense is for real. and I can't ever turn down a chance to get Nuke on my roster.
No, it definitely makes sense. It's like reliable, old veteran. Why not? Why switch from that? You know, why go for with a young guy? But Derek, what about you?
I'm going DeAndre Hopkins as well. Right now I'm working through my projections, and I'm towards the tail end of that, really on more the refining stage of all of that. And right now DeAndre Hopkins is my number one overall, where I see him finishing season end, number one wide receiver when it's all said and done. So if I get the chance to take him in the second, absolutely. Sign me up. Let's do it.
I can see why you guys do a podcast together now. The same player. So let's see if me and Jibs can do it. So Jibs, what about you, my friend? Who do you have here in round two?
It's DeAndre Hopkins as well, man. Like, this guy finished top five the last 4 years, and he's finished top five the last five out of the last 6 years. So this guy's amazing. You can sign me up for all that crap. Like, I know AJ Green got added to the mix, but he's still gonna have so much volume, because basically after that it's a bunch of nobodies.
All right, I can see I'm on my own island here tonight, guys. DeAndre Hopkins, but I'm not picking DeAndre Hopkins. I'm picking Calvin Ridley. I am probably one of the biggest Calvin Ridley believers in this year. I mean, obviously everyone's believing him, of course. I mean, no Julio now. This is a man, you know, in three straight seasons now. I mean, 90-plus targets, 7-plus touchdowns, 800-plus yards, 60-plus receptions, and now you're saying that no Julio Jones for an entire season now? I know that people say, oh, he's going to see the number one coverage, but he's legit. I mean, and the thing is that I like about Calvin Ridley, I think he can do similar terms of yards in terms of Hopkins, but I think Ridley sees those touchdowns. I think Kyle Pitts is there. Yeah, it's not going to take away from his touchdown game here, and I'm expecting him to have another 7 to 10 touchdowns this season here, and I'd rather just take that upside, especially with the Falcons and them trying to come back from behind constantly. To me, it's Calvin Ridley there in round two. So, and as we head over to round three here, guys, now we go back to running backs this time here now. And I don't think any of these running backs, for the most part, Kevin didn't like my take on this. most of these running backs, I don't believe will go in round three. But again, it's still early July. You know, things are going to definitely change. But right now, DeAndre Swift, I can't think of the name. Najee Harris, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, all hit round three currently right now in terms of, you know, ADP right now. So, Jibs, I'm going to let you go first on this one. Who do you have in this group here?
I'm going to swing for the fences on this one and pick DeAndre Swift, because I know out of these groups, like, all these three running backs profile as great receiving running back, or say decent receiving backs. So, but DeAndre Swift obviously has more appeal to me, because with the vacated targets in the offense, I believe it'll be the Hockenson and Swift show as like one and two options in the passing game. So I think he has a little bit more value, but you can't really go wrong like picking Clyde Edwards-Helaire either, because he'll kind of feel safer without like Le'Veon Bell in the mix. But you always have that like nice Chiefs offense, but you obviously want to worry about his end zone roves. And Harris, I don't know. That the offensive line kind of scares me a little bit, but
okay. I like a little extra take there at the end. Okay. Let's see which one's going to go next. Kevin, you're next, my friend.
For me, it's CEH. I think he's going to finish inside of RB1 territory. We just broke down the Steelers on Tuesday, and that's what we were saying, offensive line woes for the Steelers as well. A lot of people are pumping him up to finish inside the top 12, and I don't see it, because I don't think the offensive line can hold up. With DeAndre Swift, it scares me a little bit. They still have like six running backs in that room right now, so it does scare me a little bit. I want Swift to be the guy. I want to believe in him. But as far as taking the sure thing, I'm going to take CEH and get my piece of the Chiefs offense, because I'm not going to pay up for Kelsey, like I stated in the first round, and Tyreek Hill's going right after him. So, it's CEH for me.
All right, I love that pick there, Derek. What about you? Are you gonna keep this thing rolling here?
Yeah, I've gotta stick with what's Kevin saying there. And a lot of it has to do with the fact of what he just mentioned. But I've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. You know, I'm on the record for saying that this is the year he has the year that everybody drafted him to have last year, and you know, you already mentioned it there too, that Najee is not going to be in the third round by the time redraft really gets going here in the, you know, the next month or so, because of the fact, you know, we'll see a similar thing with him happen that happened with CEH last year, where he'll creep up there and probably get into the first round before you see this thing all said and done with people taking him, because there's a great narrative there. He is a very talented back, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a guy in a much better offense there. They're going to be playing with the lead a lot more than these other two, for sure. DeAndre Swift's a guy that, you know, is going to have, like, he's Jibs hit it, hit the nail on the head. His value is going to be out there when it comes down to being trail time and having to try and play catch up there. So I'm taking CEH on this one. I do think that he is going to be a top 12 back by the time the season's done.
Yeah, guys, I'm kind of on the same page with you. I've been telling Jibs CEH is my guy this year. If I can get him in early round three where he's projected to go right now, I'm happy about it because, you know, he has that receiving upside. And again, there's no, you know, wide receiver three or third pass catcher right now in the Chiefs that anyone is really raving about, per se. It's not Mecole Hardman, let's be real. Clyde Edwards-Helaire can get back on track there. The one thing about Clyde last year, you know, he was doing great. He had, like, over 700 all-purpose yards the first 6 weeks. Got a little banged up. You know, they bring in Le'Veon Bell. He didn't have the touchdown upside that we thought he was going to have. And you saw this offseason, they went and got protection for Pat Mahomes. But it was more for protection for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And now you have to realize in the Super Bowl here that, you know, the Chiefs, you can't just force the throw the whole time. You have to be a balanced offense. You have to get the run game going. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to do that this year. And round three, with that receiving upside that he has and the possibility to score week in, week out because of this offense, it's got to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire for me. And then we head over to round four here, and we got a couple Cowboys and a Ram here. So Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, and Bob Woods all projected to go in round four currently right now. And Derek, you're back up on first here. Who do you got?
This one's actually a tough one for me, simply because when I'm on in the round four and I'm staring down between Amari Cooper and Robert Woods, it's been a 50-50 split for me. Going back and forth on those. I think CeeDee Lamb has a continued breakout there, but I don't see him overtaking Amari Cooper in that Dallas offense yet. And right now, the way that I've got these things projected, Dallas is going to see a lot more offensive yards go through there. They're going to have to be in some more shootouts, things like that, to win games. So I'm going to take the number one wide receiver on a team that's going to put up a ton of yards and a ton of points to have to even play in games, and that's going to be Amari Cooper.
I love that there a lot there. I have a great stat about Amari Cooper later on. But let's see, here we go. Kevin, you're up, my friend. Who do you got?
I agree with Derek. This is tough. I'm going to go with Cooper's counterpart this time. So we will break up the agreement here. And I'm going to take CeeDee.
Derek was like, no, you're not. You're not taking CeeDee Lamb. So Jibs, wait.
He's back. He has risen.
He's embarrassed.
I swear I pay my bills. Anyway, I'm going to take CeeDee Lamb. I don't love Amari Cooper's home road splits. Those scare me a little bit. And for a guy that I'm drafting possibly as a wide receiver one, maybe as a wide receiver two, depending on how we're constructing our rosters here. I'm going to go with the young guy, the explosive route runner, who can continue to get separation and also has kind of the big play ability that Amari Cooper doesn't quite have. He's more of a possession style receiver, albeit deeper routes, but more possession than breakaway. So it's CeeDee Lamb for me.
Okay. Don't hate that whatsoever as well. He's rising up boards right now, and I'm loving his talent as well. But Jibs, what do you got?
I'm going with Robert Woods.
We got a three side here. There we go.
So yeah, Robert Woods finished better than all these guys last year. I know the Cowboys offense was kind of in shambles after Dak got injured. But I agree totally with Kevin with Amari Cooper's like home and road splits. That kind of worries me as well. But like, he seems more consistent as he has like the last couple of years, like, especially when he was a Raider. I just think those two are just going to be biting off each other. I don't want to really deal with that. I think Matt Stafford going to the Lions, I mean, going to the Rams will definitely improve the Rams offense. Totally. They'll be more consistent. They won't have that like turnover factor that they usually do and have multi-turnover games where you have no offensive points going towards them. So I think it's going to be good for the whole offense in general, Cam Akers, Cooper Kupp, and Woods. So sign me up for all of them.
All right. Our very first one, finally, of all three players here. So I'm going to break the tiebreaker. I was going to go with Amari Cooper. And I'll give my quick stat of Amari Cooper. You know, in the last six seasons he's played in, he's had 1,000 yards in five of them. You know, he's had five touchdowns in every single season. And he's had 70 receptions at least in six seasons now. But I've rethought about it again. I love Cooper. But the injuries on his side and Dak's side, I don't know. So I'm going to go with Bob Woods. Jibs, I'm going with you. I'm going with Bob Woods as well. Rushing yards, yes. He does get a rushing touchdown almost every season, it seems like, at this point. But the thing is that he's finished as a top 20 wide receiver three straight seasons now and had over 130 targets with Jared Goff as his starting quarterback. And now you bring in Matt Stafford, who I think will open up this offense here a lot this coming season here, and being able to do more, you know, like being able to throw the ball downfield and have Bob Woods actually, instead of doing a little five-yard dick and dunk, goes downfield and actually catches the ball downfield. So I think in terms of safe and reliable, I think Cooper and Lamb might have more upside possibly. Woods is just a reliable, consistent target that will probably end up as a top 15 wide receiver this season, with that possibility maybe to edge into that wide receiver one territory. All right, so over to round five, we're back at wide receiver. It seems like half of this draft at this point is the wide receiver people, because after round three, it's like you don't want to go for these running backs. But we got more wide receivers here now. So in round five, we have Kenny Galladay, we have Deontay Johnson, and Bob Woods, teammate Cooper Kupp at this point. So let's see, who's going to go first on this one? Kevin, who do you got on this?
Kenny G. He's the clear one on that team. Daniel Jones, although he has his deficiencies, throws a deep ball very well. His efficiencies are extremely high on passes, 25 yards or more. Kenny G at 6'4", has the ability to kind of get up and over the top of that secondary, which the Giants haven't had in the last couple of years. And so he's my guy. I like Deontay Johnson and I like Cooper Kupp both, but they're both fighting for targets alongside of other very good receivers. Kenny Galladay is kind of in a class in his own in New York, so I'm going to take my chances with him.
All right. Let's see if the magic can kind of come back for him. That's for sure. Jibs, what about you, my friend?
I hear my Bob Woods point.
I did hear your Bob Woods point. Yes, I did. Are we just going to insert Cooper Kupp on that as well?
Like Cooper Kupp was that loud. I love like all – actually, I want to say Kenny G. I hate the Kenny G. So I love Deontay Johnson as well. You can't go wrong. He's an absolute force. And if you're playing half PPR, you'll get at least a decent floor with him because he gets over-targeted. So I like them all, but Kenny G worries me. There's just a lot of weapons in the Giants. I don't know what they're going to do. Is Kadarius Toney going to get mixed in? I know they paid him the bag to come there. He's going to be the guy, just like Kevin said. But I'm not too fond of Daniel Jones. I'm an Eagles fan. I'm biased, so don't really take any of my fantasy advice.
Reality. Don't be biased these here, guys. But
Saquon Barkley, you better show up, buddy.
All right, so we got one Kenny G, one Cooper Kupp. Derek, what about you, my friend? Who are we ending up here?
For me, I could go a couple of different routes, and it would depend on who I've got there. If I'm looking for floor, I'm going to go with Deontay. But for my wide receiver, too, I feel like, having just taken an Amari in the fourth, I'm going to take the splash play and take Kenny G and take the guy that – while he's not going to necessarily give you very, very consistent there, he has the upside to finish in wide receiver one territory versus Deontay Johnson. I think what you're going to see on him is going to be, wide receiver 15 is probably the ceiling for him, whereas Kenny G probably can, he could get sneakily up in there wide receiver 8-9 on the season. So I'm going to take the bigger splash play guy there.
All right. You guys are back on your twin picks here again. I see
twinsies.
All right. So for me, guys, I'm going with Deontay Johnson. Pretty simple here. I think I've mentioned him so many times this offseason, but to me, it's just he's just a target reception machine. I don't care if Juju came back. I don't care if Chase Claypool is supposed to take this next level. Deontay Johnson is one of the best route runners in this entire NFL. Big Ben, yes, he's old now. We don't know if he probably won't ever get back to form. But again, he's another year off injury, which is good. It's got to be something there at least. And, the run game is going to be better than it was last year. It's not going to be as, Benny Snell and Anthony McFarlane like, it might not be a good offensive line, but Harris is going to run the ball better. It's going to force defenses to play close to the line of scrimmage, allow Deontay Johnson to do what he's able to do in the passing game. Again, the final like six games of the season, he was wide receiver five, playing against some pretty tough teams like Baltimore, Cleveland, Indy. Like he was playing against tough teams. and he was scoring fantasy points. So for me, I like Deontay Johnson. His ability to have a solid floor, kind of like Derek said before, I'm going Deontay Johnson.
I got one more point, though, with Kenny Galladay.
Okay,
so Daniel Jones has to take this, like, I wouldn't say leap, or he just throws 24 touchdowns like he did last year. How many touchdowns do you think Kenny Galladay could get? Because that's where he makes his mark in the touchdowns.
Could be, but he's a one-touch kind of player to the point where, yeah, if Daniel Jones can hit him in stride, which you saw them be able to have that offense set up last year, Evan Ingram just couldn't bring a ball in to save his life, it seemed like. So hit the plays are there. Daniel Jones can hit him, and I don't think it's unreasonable to see Kenny Galladay easily end up with 8, 9, even 10 touchdowns, even if Daniel Jones is only throwing that much, because that Giants defense is much improved. We also get Saquon back, so they'll be able to establish the run, and you're going to be able to see a play action pass, which that's where Kenny Galladay is going to make his hay on that, is be able to, you know, you're not going to be able to keep a bunch of guys in coverage because you're going to have to play a few up there, stack the box a little bit against Saquon, play action over the top for Kenny G, who, you know, that's where he's going to make the hay. And really, he's only going to need a handful of those things to really kind of pepper in those touchdowns that are needed for him.
Okay, you definitely answer. You're swaying me a little bit there.
All right, I'm trying. I can bring an Eagles fan also over.
He's got the highest upside, that's for sure. If you look at one of these guys, he has the ability to be a top five wide receiver. That's what it comes down to. I just like the floor of Johnson personally. But over to round six now, we go back to more wide receivers here. When I looked at this, I was like, this is one of the ones I like didn't care for some reason. I couldn't really pick a guy I really liked. But Jibs, we'll let you go first on this one, my friend.
No, I'm going with the hype train daddy of the summer, and that's T. Higgins. And Claypool's a close second just because they kind of profile similar. You know, they're in, like, crowded receiver cores with pretty much good offenses with a good quarterback. So I just want a guy with rapport. And I know Claypool was the second most targeted Steelers receiver on the team last year. Actually, I'm changing my mind. I'm going Chase Claypool. Touchdown upside. And I don't have to worry about the new Jamar Chase and what position Higgins is going to play on the offensive. Because I'm kind of worried about that with the Bengals, if they like kind of switch everybody up and try something new. That could be a little difference maker, but they're all great players anyway. But Ayuk's not bad either. I like all three of these guys, actually.
I was on the other side of what you said. I don't like any of them per se, but are you going with Chase then?
Is that what I'm going with? Claypool, yes.
Claypool. Okay, that's a determined factor here. All right, boys. Let's see. Derek, who do you have here?
So for me, it's pretty easy. I'm going to go with the what Jibs started with and go with T. Higgins here. And there's a couple of reasons behind this. When you look at both Brandon Ayuk, Chase Claypool, those are guys that can very easily be the third most targeted receiving option on their teams. And T. Higgins is going to be at least the second most targeted guy there. You saw that rapport start being built there. And where I think his role will shift a little bit over there in Cincinnati will be nice from the standpoint that, you know, he's not going to have to be that deep ball, you know, go get it. That's going to be a Jamar Chase role. So you'll see T. Higgins be able to come down a little bit and get into more of the intermediate routes and be able to get a lot of those targets that A.J. Green couldn't bring in last year in that offense. So I see some big things there for him. And out of those three, that's who I'm going with.
All right. So we got one Claypool, one Higgins here. All right. Kevin, what do we got here?
I'm going Higgins because I don't like Brandon Ayuk. I think that the way the Niners offense is constructed, them talking about wanting to run the ball 500 plus times scares the life out of me for drafting receivers on that team. And if you switch a quarterback in the middle of the season, possibly, right, with Trey Lance sitting there in the wings, like, then you have to build a new rapport in the middle of the season, and that's always a challenge. So Ayuk's out. I like Claypool a lot, but I really like T. Higgins. I liked what he did last year. I was slamming that train all year last year, and it paid off for me up until the last few weeks when the Bengals kind of gave up. But they're going to be trailing so much, and they're going to have to throw the ball so often to stay in these games because that defense is still terrible. So it is going to be Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and then Joe Mixon. And it might be a little bit of a rotating hot hand, but if Mixon's on, they're going to have to bring guys down into the box, which only helps Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. But I guess for me, I like what Higgins did last year, and I think he can build off of that and end up as a really solid top 24 receiver by the end of the season.
All right, all right, all right. But don't forget my boy Tyler Boyd, guys. Just don't forget about him. We'll talk about him a little bit.
I mean,
getting slept on.
I'm looking at my projections there. I see enough targets going around where you see Higgins, Chase, and Boyd easily with all three of them well north of 100 targets on in that offense. So I'm not sleeping on him. Just question at hand, I'm taking T. Higgins.
I respect it. So I'm going Higgins as well. Claypool, just not a big fan of. It's just too inconsistent. I don't think you're going to see him scoring all these touchdowns like he did this past season. Brandon Ayuk want nothing to do with the 49ers wide receiver, even though he flashed so much last year. I was just looking at Brandon Ayuk and doing the 49ers, and over the last four seasons that Kyle Shanahan has been there, not one pass catcher has caught more than five touchdowns in the last four seasons. Even George Kittle has only had five. And I thought that was wild. I was like, there's no chance. There's no chance with this. It's a run first team. But back to T. Higgins real quick. Again, like you both said already, actually all three of you mentioned, I mean, he has that ability with Joe Burrow. I mean, you saw him last year with Burrow and without him. He was just a guy who stayed consistent on the field. At times, he's going to be the wide receiver one. At times, he's going to be the wide receiver three on this team. But it's going to be a pass first team. You're going to want a part of this offense at some point during the season. So. All right, on to round seven here now. We got Tyler Boyd, Courtland Sutton, and DJ Shark, guys. Let's see here. Who's going to go first this time? Kevin, you're going first on this one.
This isn't even close. And I know Derek's going to say the exact same thing I'm about ready to say, but is it Courtland Sutton all day right here. He is supreme discount right now. Yeah, supreme discount right now coming off the ACL injury that he had in week two last year. So he's had a full year to recover. Teddy Bridgewater off the beat riders is most likely going to be the starter. So you're going to get slightly improved quarterback play. But Teddy B proved he fed DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson and Curtis Samuel last year. So Bridgewater can do it. And I just see Sutton as he's going to finish well into, if not above, wide receiver two territory. And he's being drafted as like the 37th wide receiver off the board. So if nothing else, you get the most bang for your buck as far as draft value here goes. And for everything that Judy is, a lot of the reasons that Derek had about CeeDee Lamb, Judy's not going to surpass him as the number one option in Denver. It is Courtland Sutton's job.
All right. I like that a lot there. All right. So, Derek, I'm sure you're on a similar path here, or?
Yes. You know, out of those three guys, I've got one of them on my Scotty Fishbowl roster, and that is Courtland Sutton. So, absolutely, it is Courtland Sutton for me. And a lot of things Kevin just said, he's a big body receiver. He's a guy that, you know, has that true alpha build when it comes to wide receivers out there. Teddy Bridgewater coming in, which, again, like Kevin already said, that's a lot of what we're hearing out here in Colorado, that, you know, he will likely be the starter. That only helps Courtland Sutton out, because you look at what you've seen out of Drew Lock throwing the ball. They're not necessarily the most catchable things coming towards these receivers, and that'll help him there. But Courtland Sutton's a guy, again, that, you know, we talk about some of these one touch type of guys. He's a guy that can go over the top, make a contested catch, and then, you know, either blow by a guy or just straight, you know, break a tackle and get by him. So I'm taking a Courtland Sutton out of these three. Absolutely.
All right. You guys are 6 for 7 so far on the same player. So you guys are doing something right over at the good old boys. So, Jibs, what about you, my friend? Who do you have in this
book? Going Courtland Sutton as well.
Yeah.
This guy was playing with bums, complete bums, his first 2 years and last year as well. But he got hurt. And like you guys said, you get him at a discount. Like, I think this guy has unbelievable upside. He could catch, like, deep balls with, like, ease. Like, he just comes down with them. I want a guy like that on my team at this kind of juncture at the draft. Like, I know, like, Tyler Boyd right now, you really can't go wrong with the third Bengals receiver, just like to Derek's point before. Like, all three of Bengals receivers last year had over 100 targets, so I don't see Boyd having a bad year, especially just given the floor he could provide for you, like 60, 70 yards and like six catches, like typically on a weekly basis. And Chark, like, I don't really like him personally as like on my fantasy teams, but you can make a case for like the Jacksonville Jaguars just being a complete like dumpster fire next year, and he could have a lot of garbage time with Trevor Lawrence, and he can provide some value for your team as well there.
All right. I like the take there. We got 3 for 3 on Courtland Sutton. Kyle, what's going on, man? Thanks for watching in for the show, buddy. Appreciate that.
Okay.
I want to say Courtland Sutton too, and I want to talk about someone else because I think you guys mentioned everything possible about Courtland Sutton at this moment there. Again, the Jibs kind of mentioned Tyler Boyd. I would like to go Tyler Boyd if you obviously don't go T. Higgins, and if Courtland Sutton probably isn't there. My only other argument for, you know, Tyler Boyd is that, yes, you know, Jamar Chase has the history. Now, Tyler Boyd is more of a real wide receiver one, you know, and Tyler Boyd's just a slot guy. But let's remember, you know, we were talking about it last year, Joe Burrow, that he favored the slot in college. He favored the slot early on when he was playing. And then you saw Tyler Boyd just disappear the second half of the season because Joe Burrow went down. So, I mean, if defenses are going to lock on Chase and Higgins at some point, you know, Boyd's just going to see easier coverage, more one-on-one stuff, and he could be a great option here in what round are we in? I don't remember at this point now. Round 7. He's just another option to go. So I think I like Tyler Boyd in round 7 too, even though there's going to be two other people there as well. But I just want to mention Tyler Boyd. So over to round 8 now, guys. And we have back to running backs finally. And this is kind of how most drafts I feel like are going to go at some point. Running backs are going to go here. And they're more like a committee backup kind of guys. So we have James Conner, we have A.J. Dillon, and we have Kenyon Drake here. Derek, who do you have here in round 8?
Man, this one is very, very easy for me. You said that you see all these guys as kind of backups into backfield by committee type of things. I don't. There's one guy that I don't see being the backup in here, and that's going to be James Conner. A.J. Dillon obviously is going to play second fiddle to Aaron Jones. Kenyon Drake is going to play second fiddle to Josh Jacobs. But James Conner, so down there in Arizona, Chase Edmonds is not necessarily built to run between the tackles, right? He's more of that scat back, catch the ball out the backfield, make some moves, that kind of stuff. But James Conner is a guy that can run between the tackles. And when you look at what Cliff Kingsbury likes to do with the running back, he likes to send him straight up the middle. Just run him straight up the middle, and James Conner can fit that bill. So I'll take the guy that most likely is going to see the most opportunities and will produce the most fantasy points between these three.
All right. I'd love that as well. Mark, what's going on, man? I have to look that up. I don't know the Suns guy in 4, but I love it. So Suns in 4, though.
Let's go.
I'm all about it. Yeah, Suns in 4. All right. So, Kevin, over to you, my friend. Who do you have in this pick here?
For the longest time, I would have told you James Conner. Up until a couple days ago, I listened to a Kenyon Drake interview. And it just how he was seemingly re-energized. He was really happy to be there. He understood that he was going to play a different role than what Josh Jacobs plays for them. But I like the idea of getting some pieces of Kenyon Drake, and I think that's probably what I would end up doing here. He doesn't have the injury history quite like James Conner does. A.J. Dillon, while I like him, Aaron Jones is just so freaking good that I think Dillon's going to be kind of looking at scraps and maybe a little bit of garbage time. Kenyon Drake's a guy that I really want to buy into the hype that they're going to find ways to get him and Jacobs on the field at the same time, whether it's putting Drake outside or in the slot and having him run some wide receiver routes, or if they're going to use him in some specialty goal line packages where he's going to end up vulturing touchdowns away from Jacobs. All those things I'm okay with for what you're probably looking at as a, you know, fourth, maybe fifth running back, depending on what your draft style is. So for me in this setting, I'm going to take Kenyon Drake.
Okay. We got one for Kenyon Drake. Kyle said easily Connor, 50-50 split, goal lines, more upside. All right, Kyle. Don't hate that. But Jims, my friend, what about you?
I'm going James Conner as well. The magic number last year, 333 rush attempts by the running backs. Chase Edmonds had 97 of them. He hasn't had more than 100 attempts in his young career so far. So I know he's a slight back. Like, he's very durable for like his size, and he's performed admirably as well. But I think James Conner was brought there to kind of – I think he'll have lesser lightened load compared to his Steeler days, but like enough attempts and opportunity to carry him, especially for this late round value. And then AJ Dillon, like, buried on the depth chart, so like injury, I'm not really kind of riding with that. I feel like Kenyon Drake, there's something to be had there. Like, if I'm going to take Josh Jacobs in the early round, I probably wouldn't do it, but I'd rather take that shot on Kenyon Drake, especially given Kevin's salient points before.
Okay. So we got two James Conner, one Kenyon Drake. And yeah, James Conner is definitely a solid choice if you wanted to go that route. I definitely get it. The injuries kind of scare me. We've just seen it way too many times over the last few seasons now that the injuries just continue to pop up. And that's why I'm going to go with AJ Dillon. I know Aaron Jones is there and he just got paid and he's going to be the number one running back. But to me, the way I see it is that AJ Dillon now takes Jamal Williams, not role, but the second spot now. And they're going to find a way to mix these guys in here. And, you know, they drafted AJ Dillon in the second round for a reason to be involved in this offense. And I think he will be involved in this offense. And whether it's Aaron Rodgers playing quarterback and he's taking the garbage time in the fourth quarter as they're winning games, or if Jordan Love is playing and he's going to see probably more work in that own sense there. Yes, he's not going to be a big pass catcher back like maybe the two other guys could be. But I mean, he's a big guy. I mean, he's built big. He's going to be using this offense here. I mean, you saw him last year against that Titans game. He just dominated. And at times, Aaron Jones has been known to miss a couple games here and there. So I'll take that upside with AJ Dillon could have if he sees it just the right workload. I know it's got to be kind of right a little bit, but I'd rather take an opportunity in round eight for a guy who has that upside, and I think in his game there, to do something really good. All right, and over to round nine now. We only have five rounds left here, and we're going for our first tight ends finally. No tight ends early in this one besides Travis Kelce, of course. So we got Dallas Goedert, we got Logan Thomas, and we have Mike Gesicki here, all in round nine here. So, Jibs, who do you have in your round nine tight end right here?
No, that's not even a question, buddy.
Mike Gesicki?
Oh, hell no. But they're all like, they all have their quirks, not to get you wrong, but just basically between like Logan Thomas and Mike Gesicki, like I don't want to take like their end of year kind of thing stretch to like heart. I might give Logan Thomas a slight edge because maybe Ryan Fitzpatrick's like slight affinity to the tight end position that he's been showing over the last couple of years with the Dolphins. Mike Gesicki has just a bunch of new friends in the offense, Will Fuller, Jalen Waddle, et cetera. So I'm not really trying to be vibing with that. But Dallas Goedert, Eagles off, Eagles coaching staff already telling him about trying to get him be more featured in the offense. And you have basically nobody but him and Devontae Smith and hypothetically Jalen Reagor to throw to. So I think he's going to be a big cog of the offense. Zach Ertz is going to be gone by the season's start. So I'm all for Dallas Goedert, especially if you're not trying to like pay that premium capital of getting that top tight end I mentioned in the first couple rounds.
Okay, my friend. Okay, I like that. I know you were going to go with Dallas Goedert. We had a happy and sad face Kevin on the show a minute ago, so that was fun. So we got him back now. Kyle said my play is to avoid tight ends in this range. And Kyle is correct because I hate these tight ends.
Right.
So if there's an option, I'm going to put an option out there, say none. You can say none and then pick a player. So let's see here. Derek, who you got on this one?
I can say none?
You can say none, but you got to pick someone afterwards.
All right. I have to check and see who's in my ADP there for round nine. But Yeah, personally, I'd probably punt on this one. If I've got to take a tight end, it's going to be Dallas Goedert for a lot of the same reasons Jib just mentioned. You look at the fact Logan Thomas and that Washington offense, they've got two really good pass catchers on the outside. You'll see Fitzmagic push the ball down the field more. Gesicki, I don't really want any part of that Miami nebulous situation for pass catchers in the ninth. But give me a moment and I'll pull up my ADP here for the ninth round and tell you who I got if you want to get Kevin's.
All right. Yeah, Kevin, go for it. Who do you got here?
I'm taking none and I'm going to have to look. I'm taking Michael Pittman. I have big, big, big plans for this guy this year. I have him inside the top 24 and, I will punt tight end at this position or at this point in the draft, and I will grab one Mike Pittman from the Colts.
All right, I love it. Love the punt there. Now you left. He came in the fastest he left. So
he really did punt that one.
He really did.
Yeah, looking at it, if we're looking quarterback in the ninth, you can get a Ryan Tannehill is in that range. So may actually take a quarterback there. Yeah, I'm liking guys like Curtis Samuel still in that range there, right? We were just talking, mentioned other pass catchers that are good on the outside there. I think Curtis Samuel will have a top 24 wide receiver deal. So that's who I'm taking in the ninth. Sign me up with Curtis Samuel.
Okay. Let's go. I love it. I love the alternate plan there. So, yeah, I probably wouldn't really want to go tight end here, though, if I could choose to go a different direction for sure. Michael Pittman sounds so much better than any of these guys, but for me, I'm going to go with Mike Gesicki, and I'm not just saying because I'm a Dolphins fan, yes. To me, it's who do you trust as the quarterback? I guess I have trust in Tua still. I mean, I don't trust Jalen Hurts' inaccuracy. I don't know if Ryan Fitzpatrick's going to be a starter for 17 games and make Logan Thomas that great, even with all these new weapons they have brought in and the emphasis on running the ball more. You know, we talk about the wide receivers from Miami and how like, oh, any one of them could be a wide receiver one, but maybe none of them are. I mean, Mike Gesicki is in a contract year. He's going to probably try to do his best to ball out this season. Tua is a very accurate quarterback. As long as he can see improvement, which, you know, there's been so much talks about his improvement. Mike Gesicki is a very athletic tight end. I mean, he's an athletic tight end. He just needs to get on the same page with Tua. And I think his upside is there, which I don't see in Logan Thomas and Dallas Goedert at this point of their careers. Especially Dallas Goedert, who everyone seemed to love early on. I just don't see his upside as good as I could still see Mike Gesicki's right now in the offense. So I'm going to go with Mike Gesicki. But again, I'd rather go with a guy like Michael Pittman if I had to in this round at this point. So, and over to round 10 now at this point, guys. We have some more wide receivers here. We've got Jalen Waddle, Antonio Brown, and Cole Beasley. A young guy, an early old guy, and a middle old guy here. So, Derek, who do you have in this group here?
Out of this group, I am probably going to take the Antonio Brown. Although, you know, you're talking Antonio Brown, Cole Beasley, probably right about the same age, I think, when it's all said and done. But Jalen Waddle, this round 10 might be about the earliest that I would take a shot on getting one of the Miami wide receivers, but even then I probably would look at trying to see if Will Fuller's still around at this point. I've seen him fall in this range a couple of times. But Antonio Brown, right, he's a guy that once he got back, Tom Brady really started to target down that back half and started seeing, you know, averaging 7 to 8 targets a game. And he's got the talent still to put up some good fantasy relevance. So I'll take the guy that is going to be probably the most heavily targeted of these three.
All right. I love that there a lot. Jibs, who do you got?
I'm going AB as well. I just think like he at least has rapport with Tom Brady, and like I know, and given like opportunities that Tom will pepper him with the ball, and we've seen cases where it's just kind of a scoring fest with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing in that NFC South. So I'd rather go with the player on a high caliber offensive team. Meanwhile, Cole Beasley, yeah, Stephon Diggs is just like he just gets truckloads of targets. So, like, I know Cole Beasley had a remarkable year last year, and he probably could kind of replicate it to a lesser degree, but I just don't really want to risk that. And Jalen Waddle is just a bunch of weapons. You can make a case that Will Fuller, probably knowing his career so far, will get dinged up or something will happen to him, and you think he will profile and replace him pretty well in the offense. But given that they picked that sixth pick with him, I think they're going to get him up in that offense really soon.
Okay. I was waiting for Kevin to come back in here. Oh, he's back. There he is. Kevin, what do you got here?
I'm back. For me, I'm going to take AB as well, and for a large part of the same reason. It's a high-powered offense, and you want a piece of Tampa Bay, on top of the fact that it is guaranteed that Mike Evans or Chris Godwin will go down at some point. So while he is the third receiver on this team at the moment, maybe even the fourth, depending on the Gronk weeks that pop up from time to time, I do see him being able to be slid up the depth chart in certain matchups and certain weeks, because it seems like every single year Mike Evans has some sort of nagging injury that costs him at least a game. So round 10, filling out the wide receiver core, I'll take Antonio Brown and use him as a bye week fill-in.
Yeah, and I definitely like that a lot. It's really between Waddle and Brown for me personally. I feel like Antonio Brown has that floor upside that could be really great, and Waddle really has that just upside where he doesn't really have the floor that you really want. So it's really depending on what you want in a wide receiver at that point. To me, I still probably go Antonio Brown. It's slightly here, but you know, if he could get back to his old ways at some point with Brady on this great offense here, I mean, you really want a part of that. So I'm going to go AB on this one. So over to round 11 now, we have some backup running back game talk now to talk about here. And we have Latavius Murray, Tony Pollard, and Jamal Williams here. So, Jibs, I'll let you go first. Who do you like in this bunch here? Who would you take?
Frankly, if I'm going to go with these handcuff running back type candidates, I'm going to go with the guy on the most potent offense, and that's the Dallas Cowboys. Tony Pollard showed last year that he could perform when Zeke was hurt. And I think Dallas wouldn't be fond of they'll be fond of like giving him some carries time to time as well. So I'm going to go with Tony Pollard.
All right. I love that one a lot there, Tony Pollard. Let's see. Who do we got here next? Let's see which one wants to go first. Derek, who do you got?
I'm going to also take Tony Pollard, but it is a very close one with Latavius Murray. Latavius Murray will have more standalone value between the two, right? He's going to see typically more volume there because of how the Saints run that by committee. But I do like Tony Pollard there, and you're banking on that one just if you know, something should happen type of thing. But I like it because I'm taking the Zeke value everywhere that I can, and so there's a good chance that I've already got him on my roster, so I'm going to take Tony Pollard.
Okay, that's two for Tony Pollard so far. Kevin, finish up with who do you got?
I'm going Latavius Murray here. I like his role in that Saints offense. I like the standalone value that I get from Latavius Murray. And I really like the idea that we're going to see him used this year probably differently than what we've seen the last few years, because there is no Drew Brees. Alvin Kamara can only do so much. You have Michael Thomas on the outside, but then you don't really have any true secondary pass catcher. Alvin Kamara is kind of that guy. So for me, I'm going to take Latavius Murray because I think Sean Payton's going to get really creative this year, and I don't have a whole lot of share.
He doesn't have a whole lot of shares of Murray. That's okay, though. I'm hoping to find some shares this redraft season at least here. Kyle said, you know, round 11 is very format heavy, and I agree with you slightly on that for sure. Pollard PPR, point per carry, Murray. For me, though, as long as that full point PPR, which is all half here we're talking about. So Murray's got to be the guy for me, honestly, too. It just, he's going to be using this offense here, whether it's, you know, Winston or Hill. I mean, they're just going to find a way to get him and more involved in this offense here, because you just can't let this offense just not continue to run well. And he's just going to see work. He saw, like, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I don't have my stats in front of me because I can't find it, but he has like 600 yards in like back-to-back seasons now. And at least one point he ends up seeing a game where he's seen 20 plus carries at some point. So give me Murray too, but Kevin, I'll let you finish here. You say you don't have a lot of shares of Murray. What's up with that?
Honestly, it's just kind of been, he's been going at the opposite end of the round. Wherever I'm at, if I'm on the front half, he's or if I'm on the back half, he's been taken in the front. If I think I can try and slide him around, if I feel like he's buried on a list of running backs, someone is consistently taking him in that range. So I've just been missing out, playing the game a little bit differently, and haven't got enough shares of him just yet.
Okay. So we got split here on this one. And we're going to do one more, and then we're going to finish things up here. We're going to go back to the quarterbacks once again. We're going to skip a couple rounds. We're going to round 14 now, guys, where a lot of people seem to enjoy going quarterback late in drafts. I know Jibs is like that. I know I've been known to do that if I don't get Pat Mahomes. But we got Carson Wentz, you know, new team, new offense. We got Jameis Winston, the possible starter now for the Saints. And we have Daniel Jones, who has all the weapons possible for a guy can possibly have in an offense here. So, Kevin, I'll let you go first. Who do you have here in this quarterback range?
I'm going Wentz at the top. While all three of these quarterbacks do have issues with turnovers from time to time, Wentz has proven that he can have a season with limited turnovers, and it was in this style of offense back in their Super Bowl run before he got injured. So I like the weapons in Indianapolis a lot. I like that offensive line the most out of the Colts, the Saints, and the Giants. And I think Carson Wentz is probably – he needed a change of scenery after kind of some of the debacle in Philly, but I think he's going to make the most of it. And he's going to be the guy at the top of my list for late quarterbacks.
All right. I love that one as well a lot here. Let's see, Derek, what about you, my friend?
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with that one as well. I think Jameis has the most sneaky upside of these guys. But at the same time, it's, you know, Jameis is going to give you that boom bust type of scenario. I like that Saints offense a little bit more, but I think from where I'm going to try and take a quarterback, I want a weekly starter that I know what I'm going to get, and I'm going to be very consistent. I think out of these three, Carson Wentz is going to give me the best floor of those three. And I like the weapons around him the most, whereas when you start looking at some of these other guys, right, like I think the weapons around him are going to be the most consistent of those and that line. So, yeah, I'm going to sign up for Carson on this one.
All right. I like that as well. Kyle, you said it best. Yeah. Thrive behind a great O-line. I love that. And Jibs, are you sticking with your ex, or are we going with somebody else here?
I'm sticking with my ex. He owed me a first-round pick next year, so you better perform, buddy. But Phillip Rivers threw for 4,000 yards last year. He had 24 touchdowns, 12 picks. Some of them were pretty bad. I know Carson Wentz definitely has times where he just kind of just throws up on himself. But with that Colts offensive line, it's way better than the Eagles offensive line, even with them losing Costanzo to retirement. But I think he's just set up for success. Like, the weapons are the same. He's just getting thrown into a familiar situation, albeit in a new uniform.
All right. 3 for 3 for Carson Wentz. And I think this might be the only one we actually all agreed on, actually, because I'm going Carson Wentz as well. Again, like all you guys said, is just the weapons, the O-line, the offensive coordinator coming back. It just makes sense for him to take another step, take a rebound step here. He's not injured this year. He doesn't have a depleted team. He should really fight back and be able to do very well in this offense and have a really good 2021 season and give Jibs that first-round pick he wants. Jameis, we don't know what's going to happen. He has that upside, but we don't know what Jameis we're going to get. And Daniel Jones, you know, he has the weapons, but is he really going to step up? That's kind of what it is. We've seen Carson do it, and he's on a good offense. When he has a good offense, he does well, and that's what he has right now. So Kevin agrees for sure. So, so we're ending it here with Carson Wentz as all of our round 14 pick here, guys. So before we end the show today, guys, we got a couple things we're going to talk about here. Derek and Kevin, talk about what you guys got going on real quick before we head to that part.
Go ahead and lead us off there.
Basically right now we're finishing up our rankings. So that'll be up on the website here pretty soon. Every Tuesday we have our podcast, available wherever you can, the podcast, I guess, is available Thursdays. We do the live stream on Tuesday nights. And a lot of us just getting geared up, right? Doing, whether it's mailbag, helping people out with questions, obviously tons of different drafts that we're in. And involved with. So it's been a whole lot of fun, and keep your eyes posted for the rankings. They should be done here. I'm guessing within the next week to 10 days is what our plan is.
All right. Yeah, the quarterback should be going up this week. We'll see tight ends next week, followed by the running backs and wide receivers kind of finishing that off. Yeah, as August starts going along, we'll start getting into some of our tier breakdowns and tier-based drafting there. But one of the things we're excited about that we're going to do as the season starts coming on is we're going to be giving you guys more shows and coming live more often. We're going to keep with our Tuesday nights. We're going to have that one probably focused a little bit more on our home league, which was kind of the inspiration and brought us into the podcasting world and what this fantasy football community is. Friday, Kevin and I are going to talk about the matchups and start sits and really try and break those things down for you. And then we'll do a Sunday morning deal where we're talking, last minute start sit type of questions. And it's going to be really a user listener focused, viewer focused type of show where, call in, give your questions and we'll answer them live for you right there in the moment.
All right, guys. So if you haven't checked out the boys, go check them out. Not Kevin, though, because he keeps leaving my podcast today. But the good old boys, go check them out if you already aren't following them. They do some great stuff. I know I've been on their show, and there's three of them together. They're a great trio, that's for sure. So, Derek, we appreciate you guys coming on tonight. This was a lot of fun, man.
Absolutely. Like I said, this is one of the favorite shows that I get a chance to do, and really appreciate when you guys ask us to come on here. Always a lot of fun. And apparently it's just you and I now. So
yeah, me too have my co-host as well has issues staying on video here. So
I know on ours sometimes the weather, like the wind doesn't blow right and the internet doesn't make it all the way from the other room some days. So.
Well, we are having maybe a storm here in New Jersey at some point. So maybe Jibs is falling apart here. So we'll finish up here real quick. So, guys, we do have some pretty fun news going on right now. We did just open up our Fantasy Coaches Charity Bowl, working with the Humane Society of America or United States, whatever what they call it. And basically, we're just doing a charity bowl. If you guys can check on our website at www.thefantasycoaches.com. It's $5 to sign up here. There's a Google sheet to fill out. It's a really cool concept we're doing. We're calling it the Secret Play, based off the coaches here. And I hope you guys can check it out and join in. It's just a lot of fun. And it's a good way to we're just trying to raise at least close to $1,000 to give back to charity. Jibs is good again. So if you haven't already signed up for it, please do so. It's going to be a lot of fun. You have until July 31st. Anything else we have, you can check on our website. We have a bunch of new writers. Actually, we have about like 5 or 6 new guys. Hopefully we'll be getting their stuff out soon, but we do have one guy, Justin P. I just wrote an article on rookie AFC impact for the 2021 season. So if you haven't checked that already, please go do so as well. And again, you can follow us over on Twitter at Coaches Fantasy, and you can follow me at Coach Stephen P.
And I don't know if my mic's on, but if you can follow me at Hot Take Honcho.
Your mic is on again. Okay. The good old boys for joining us. Derek, thank you so much once again.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
Absolutely. And Kevin, wherever you may be in the world, my friend, hopefully you had a good night as well. So thank you guys for listening. Tune in until next time and have a great one.
The bag is not far-fetched. We got a couple of Clark Kents. I've been feeling super duper. How the heck they know the future? Come with me, don't be a loser. Grass is green like Koopa Scoopers. Clueless analysts don't do the half of this. In fact, I'm backing this by asking if y'all remember that tough act interacting. Like boom, running like zoom. The highest and mightiest entered the room. High off the knowledge, I'm feeling the fumes. All players covered, it's nuts as legumes. Opponents are doomed, and these are the facts. I keep it 100 like I'm running track. And listen up, Jack, I'ma head back to the blowing that go.